Day out there, maybe my family go and get a Christmas tree today. That'd be fun. We like the real ones. I like that feeling of cutting down a tree. Or maybe we won't. I don't know. We'll see. Luke chapter 2. In those days, I'm going to start at verse 8. We're going to talk about the shepherds today. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Well, I'm going to take my wife down memory lane here a little bit. A unique aspect of life when we lived on the Alaskan island of Akutan. Well, one of the aspects of life there was that I had ample opportunity to do all sorts of interesting things up there. I wore different hats. And really, that was good, because when you're in Alaska in the wintertime, when it's dark and rainy and cloudy and there's bad weather and long hours of darkness, you need something to stave off the boredom. And so I had my regular duties as a pastor up there. But I also played other roles. I was the janitor of this large place. I was a substitute teacher. My wife was teaching in town, and sometimes she couldn't make it to school. I had to be the substitute teacher. I was a basketball official. We had a big gymnasium up there, so I was the basketball referee. I was the shuttle driver, the airport shuttle driver. You might think, there was an airport there? Well, it was a slab of cement, and the airplane would roll up from the bay and come up there, and I would take people down. We had only had two vehicles on the island, the church van and the other, there's another van on there. I was an occasional fish processor. Went down there. I was even a chicken farmer out there. I did everything. But I want to tell you about the most fascinating job I had out there. I was, get this, it's going to make you laugh, I was a longshoreman or a stevedore. Can you imagine me a stevedore? You know what a stevedore is? These are the guys, these are people who help load and unload the ship that come into the port. And there's all these products that you got to load and take off the ship and put on the ship. You know, when you think of a stevedore, a longshoreman, you think of these big, burly, bearded, muscle-bound guys. Remember, like, Bluto from Popeye? You know, Popeye's nemesis? I'm aging myself there. But I got a chance to do that. To be frank, it's not fun being a stevedore. If you've ever been there, don't do it, okay? I tell you right now, don't do it. You put in long hours, you work, you know, all through the night doing this sort of stuff. The temperatures, you go into the cargo hold of a ship, and it's like way freezing down there because they got to keep all the product cold for the long trip. They would send fish all the way to Russia and Asia and all over the place. But there I was. I found myself packing away blocks of fish, 50-pound blocks of fish. Now, you see, mostly the forklifts and the cranes, they do all the heavy lifting. But you see, they want to pack in as much fish as they can. So all these little nooks and crannies of the ship, they need to be packed full of the fish. So that's where the stevedores come in. We help that out. Now, why would I do such a thing? And you think about it, why? That's craziness. It's dangerous. I mean, it's really cold in the ship's cargo hold. I remember one time I climbed out of the freezer. I'd been down there for a long time, and they give us a break once in a while, and I'd come up to the top, and I felt like I'd been magically transported to Hawaii because it was so warm that when I got to the surface. But I was still in Alaska in the middle of January, but down in the freezer. Wow. Why'd I do it? Two reasons. One, they paid very well. I enjoyed the paycheck. But the other thing is, I had the opportunity to share the gospel with men that would never darken the doorsteps of a church. They would never come. And that helped me tolerate the uncomfortableness and the miserableness of doing this job. When I read, every time I read Luke chapter 2 at Christmas, I think about my stevedore days, which were short-lived, I admit. Because in a real sense, the stevedores are like the shepherds in a sense. They both work long hours, usually through the night. It's very dangerous work because there's a crane with a ton of fish being lowered down over your head. You don't want to be in the way, okay? If that thing were to break or something, you'd be an ink spot, okay? It's dangerous. Shepherds had to fight off lions and wolves and bears. They had to be constantly alert of the thieves that might try to steal their sheep. Stevedores had to remain alert. Stevedores had to, you know, watch out for the, you know, severe cold. Shepherds had to deal with the elements too. Now you might think, perhaps I'm stretching this a little bit, this analogy a little bit. But here's one other thing that they're similar. Like shepherds, stevedores are comprised of people who typically are viewed in the lower rungs of society. Let's face it, the men I found myself working with, they were a bit rough around the edges, let me say it. Many of them had spent time in prison. Others, even if they did have a clean police record, they had spent many months away from their family and their homes. And you know when that happens, that's very detrimental to any sort of meaningful relationship these men try to have. But my point in comparing shepherds to stevedores is simply to remind us that to the likes of these, God first brought the message of Christmas to. He brought the message concerning that his son was born in a manger. Interesting. Why would God do that? Why would he bring him to these guys? These ruffians, I guess you call them. Why didn't God commission Gabriel to break the news to the religious establishment, to the priests and the rabbis and the scribes and the Pharisees? And wouldn't that have ensured that the message would have been accurate? That there'd be an accurate rendering of the account of this very amazing event? After all, aren't the priests and the Pharisees, aren't they the ones who are really in tune with the Old Testament and they understand the prophecies that predicted such an unprecedented event as this birth? Not to mention the fact of this extremely important message. Leaving it to a bunch of uneducated nomads, that seems a bit crazy, doesn't it? Foolhardy to leave it in their hands? But as the scriptures say, God's ways are not our ways. And what we deem as logical, God just laughs at and says, nah, that's not the way it's going to be. God always has a perfect plan. And in this case, I think it was a message that God wanted to communicate clearly to the world, and that is, when it comes to God's grace, outsiders are always welcome. Outsiders are always welcome. And not only are they welcome, they should be the first in line. Didn't Jesus say himself, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first? Make no mistake about it, about God's message, outsiders should be welcome here. Our shepherds are definitely outsiders. not only socially, but geographically. They were, in fact, camped out in the hills outside the city gates of Bethlehem, tending the flocks of sheep that were to be used as temple sacrifices. An important job, yet undoubtedly a job that wasn't high on our list of things that we want to do for a career. My guess is that probably most of us have a distorted view of what a shepherd does. It was not an easy life. They just didn't sit around all day playing the harp or the flute and writing psalms. That's not what they did. They had a flock to tend. They had a flock to defend. They had to fight off the wild beast. Remember what David said, his response to King Saul, when Saul said to him, David said, I'll go out there and fight Goliath. And Saul said, you're just a boy. He'll smush you. But David replied, he said, your servant has been keeping my father's flocks, sheep. And when a lion or a bear came along and carried sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when the lion turned on me, David continued, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. How would you like to do that? That's not your everyday 9-to-5 job, is it? Shepherds, they also had the task of finding water and pasture and shelter for the sheep, not to mention mending injured sheep, rescuing lost sheep that strayed away from the flock. No, the shepherd's life was not an easy one. It was not a job for the faint of heart by any stretch of the imagination. Fortunately, the shepherds, they had each other to commiserate with. That's really important. This, I'm sure, created a bond among them that was unusually close and cherished among these, what I'm going to say, call them outsiders. This certainly was the case with the stevedores I work with. They were always, you know, they're in the midst of their hard work, they seemed to always be laughing. They had their own language, they had their inside jokes, they had their stories of outrageous accomplishments. They bragged about how many times they went without sleep for hours on end, about the times they worked through injuries or broken bones. Their trophies were their scars on their body and their lost teeth. They couldn't pass up an opportunity to tell each other how they were stranded in this port or that port and how they had a bar fight or something like that. This is what they bragged about. And a lot of people who didn't work as that in that profession, they wouldn't understand, really. Julie and I lived on that island of Akutan, which is, if you look it on the map, it's right smack dab in the middle of the Bering Sea. We learned a little bit ourselves about what it meant to be an outsider. We lived and worked at the church, but on one side of us there was this huge seafood processing plant. On the other side was this village of about 100 people, and we were right in between them. And so the village mayor dubbed us, he called us the tweeners, because we didn't belong to either side. And quite frankly, nobody really wanted to claim us either. But we were just there trying to share God's spirit, share God, the truth, to make inroads into both cultures. And I must say, it wasn't without its difficulties, because they really viewed us as outsiders. But we never lost hope. We always remembered what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians. He said, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced. We took that message. We are convinced that Christ died once for all mankind, and that we, therefore, are Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. And that's what we tried to do. Whether we're talking to the Filipinos or the Mexicans or the Africans, whoever are down at the plant, or we're talking to the Aleut folks in the village, we tried to keep that at the forefront of our mind. God was using us to make his appeal through us to the community. Our place in the community was viewed as suspect in the eyes of the locals, for sure. But in the eyes of God, we were right where we were supposed to be. There was never a question. We were there to be God's light, to be His signpost for His Son. And the good news is that there's a place for outsiders like us in God's kingdom. All we need to do is trust in the way of salvation that comes through His Son Jesus, His work on the cross, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. I think there's another reason why God's angels brought the good news to the shepherds first. You see, good news is always something that is to be shared, not kept to ourselves. And God knew that the shepherds would do just that. They would do it immediately. They would do it without fanfare. They would do it without chest pounding. They would just go do what the angel told them to do. You see, shepherds are humble men, but they're also men of action. And when they see a storm brewing on the horizon, well, they don't just stand around. They head for shelter. When they see the predator approach, they don't just stand around, but they ready their bows and their slings and their arrows and their rocks and get ready. And when night approaches, they don't just stand around there either. They prepare a fire for protection and for warmth. Shepherds are very practical people. They don't have time to philosophize about the predator-prey relationship or the forces of nature or the value of a sheep. They move quickly and decisively when certain signs are given in order to protect their charges. For them, it's a matter of life and death. My point, let us be the church that emulates, that imitates the shepherd's right judgment and decisive action. Notice how quickly and forthrightly the shepherds respond to the angel's proclamation. They hold a brief meeting and decide, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, what the Lord has told us about. When God speaks to us, when He speaks to us through His Word and the circumstances and prayer, and he speaks to us through our brothers and sisters in Christ, let us not delay, but move out in faith and in a way that would make the shepherds proud of us for what we do. Hurrying and expecting to see what the Lord has in store for us. The shepherds, their obedience meant witnessing firsthand the glory of God's Son, the Savior of the world. And what do? They praised God for all they had seen. And the shepherds, truly, when you think about it, they are credited as being the first evangelist of Christianity, of Christ. It says in the Bible, when they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Should we, as 21st century Christians, should we aspire to anything less? God is glorified when the church is being and doing what it is created to do, to be, created for. And what is that? Be a holy, pure vessel to carry the healing and saving message of our Lord. We must do it with decisiveness. We must do it with resolve. And we must do it under the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit, expecting that those who take our message seriously, that their lives will be changed forever. Look at the shepherds. They returned to their fields, glorifying and praising God after they had witnessed God's word come true. Let us be a church where God's word rings true, where outsiders are welcome to experience the saving and loving presence of God, where people experience supernatural love from above, from on high. I'm reminded of Paul's words of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ. Outsiders. You're separated. You were excluded from being a citizen of Israel. Outsider. You were a foreigner to the covenant of the promise. Foreigner. Outsider. Without hope. Without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about Jesus coming as a babe, yes, and that gives us warm fuzzies. But it's about Jesus coming in the flesh to be the perfect sacrifice for the world's sins. Being separated, being excluded, being foreigners, being without God, without hope. That's being an outsider. But God says, no, you can come inside. This Christmas season, let us help those who feel like they're on the outside. Let's help them. Welcome them in to the Lord's manger. Amen to that. Well, let us sing a closing hymn then, shall we?